Samuel now speaks for the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, chapter 3, verse 21 says, "For the Lord revealed Himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord." God is now speaking again. There is now open vision, open revelation. And He's speaking to Samuel. It wasn't working through Eli. Eli was disobedient and he had two sons, at least, that were absolutely out of control. They were so worldly that they were unusable. And God pointed that out to Eli and said, "I will use you no more." And as a matter of fact, to prove to you that it's me, that it's really God, both your sons will die in the same day. And Samuel had the job of telling that good news to Eli. Well, all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, from the north all the way down to the bottom, top to the bottom, all of Israel knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. That's, I'm reading that verse to you. That's verse 20 of chapter 3. Important to remember that, because when we get into chapter 4, verse 1, they have forgotten it. Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord, and everybody from the top of the country to the bottom and all in between, everybody knew it. Now, chapter 4, verse 1 says this, "And the word of Samuel came to all Israel." In other words, Samuel would speak and let Israel know what the Lord had to say. "Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle, pitched beside Ebenezer," that means a stone of help, Ebenezer, "and the Philistines pitched in Aphek." Now in verse 1, you're told a couple of things. Number one, Samuel was speaking for the Lord to all of Israel. When God wanted Israel to know what to do, He would speak it to Samuel. Samuel would tell them. Then you see Israel going out against Philistines without checking. You don't see, "And thus saith the Lord, go out and fight." No, the Philistines have been their enemies for quite a while. You recall that in the book of Judges. They've been around quite a while. They've been a thorn in the flesh, so to speak, of the Israelites. They go out because the Philistines are there in these five cities that they've always been in. They go out there and they're going to fight with them, but you don't see God sending them. Now, I showed you a few verses back, all of Israel knew God was speaking through Samuel. They should have listened to him, or they should have said, "Samuel, the Philistines are out there, and they're set up for battle. Should we go out against them, or what should we do? Let's ask the Lord." Instead, they just went. "Hey, we're defending our country. We've got a right. It's logical to do. We can't just let them come in. All the reasons are good reasons, but they're not good enough for God. So what are you doing, you and I? They may be logical. They may be good. They may sound great. But did God tell you to do it? Because if God didn't send you to it or tell you to do it, you could be, metaphorically speaking, barking up the wrong tree. Are you?" Everybody wants somebody else to tell them that what they're doing is God's will. Don't you? "Well, I'm planning to build a tower to reach the moon. Do you think that's what God wants me to do? How on the earth could anybody tell you what God wants you to do?" God will tell you. And you'll learn later on that there'll be lightning, there'll be thunder, and there'll be strong wind when everything's shaking. And nowadays, we're used to that. There's noise all over the building. And Elijah thought, I'll hear God. I'll hear God. And then the rumbling, the earthquake, oh, I'll hear God. Oh, oh, here it comes. Oh! And then the wind. But God's voice wasn't in those things. Where was it? When everything got still, it was that still, small voice. How do I know what God wants me to do? Listen. Really closely. And I believe God will tell you. Well, they didn't do that. They went out. All the excuses are good ones. You know they are. Israel did not seek the Lord before going into battle. Now, they're not going to win this battle. They're not going to win it. Look what takes place. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel in verse 2. And when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines. That's not according to the promise. God gave them a promise just the opposite of what you read right there. But they lost anyway. Now, some of you say, man, oh man, I know God promised it, but I lost. How is that possible? Is God's promise no good? Is God weak? Nowadays we hear that God is weak. And is that true? No, I don't think so. I think Israel didn't seek the Lord. Sometimes you catch yourself seeking the Lord and you're under pressure. Okay, God, I got to have an answer from you, but I have to have it by 9 this morning. Now, poor God, if He doesn't assume the same time frame as you, you're going to be in trouble, huh? If He just doesn't decide, all right, well, okay, Bob, all right, we'll sympathize our watches. No, God, you got to hurry. Have you ever seen yet in Scripture, from beginning to end, check it, have you seen Him hurry yet? Even when the people were telling Him, you got to hurry, oh my gosh, you better hurry, you're going to have to... Well, they lost the battle. And they slew of the army in the field 4,000 men. 4,000 lives were lost. Why? Because no one took the time to seek the Lord. You saw that happen in the book of Judges. We've seen it happen a few times. You saw it happen in the book of Joshua. How many times, I wonder, are you and I going to see it before we begin to believe it? Wait on the Lord, the Bible says, and be of good courage, and He will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Isaiah chapter 40, we read at the very end, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Now, I know many people have that memorized. Read before it. When you get some chance tonight, read before it. It may shock you what it says. Strong people will fail. Even the young will fail. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. To wait means to call upon Him in prayer and to wait expecting Him to respond. And to wait there until He does respond. Well, instead, 4,000 men were killed. And when the people were coming to the camp, the elders of Israel said this in verse 3. Why has the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? How many times have you asked that? Why did God let this happen to me? Have you heard it? Have others asked it of you? How come this is going on? Where is God? Why? And you know something, many times it's because I didn't really wait. I didn't listen. Well, of course, why did God let them kill us like this? We know, let's go fetch the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh. We'll go get it. And when it comes among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies. We'll go get the Ark and bring it out. That's why we didn't win. We forgot the Ark. Do you remember the Ark of the Covenant? Moses was told how to build it. God gave him the plans and he put it together. It was a beautiful thing. And remember when the ark, when they stepped down and they're carrying the ark and they stepped down into the Jordan, what happened? Boom. Dry land. Then they took the ark and they carried it around it. And they surrounded the city and walked around it. And one thing led to another, and then seven times the last day, and the walls fell down. Oh man, we forgot the ark. What that shows you here in chapter 4 is how superstitious the Israelites had become. How superstitious they had become. You think there's any power in that box? Built of really nice wood, covered, overlaid with gold, now very expensive. But you see, if God's not there, it's just a box. Did you know that? They haven't asked God about it. Now we'll go get some of God's stuff. We'll bring out a little box here and you put the ark, boy, that'll get them. Superstition. Why did they learn that kind of thing? They learned it from the pagans around them. There is no merit in the ark itself. Did you know that? There is no merit. God is the power, not the box. How many of you think God lives in a box? We call Him God in the box. He turned the little handle. God in the box. And when I need Him, you turn the handle and He pops out and I tell Him what I want. Shove Him back in, click it closed. You got God in the box. You can carry Him with Him, with you, wherever you go. And then when you need something, you ask. Till then, shove Him in, lock Him down. He's always smiling when He pops out. Notice that? There is no merit in the ark itself. The power is God. And God was not even checked on. They went out into battle. Now we 4,000 men have died. Let's go get the ark and bring it out. What happens? Well, so the people sent to Shiloh, verse 4, that they might bring them there the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of Hosts, which dwells before the cherubims. And the two sons of Eli, because their paid staff, Hophni and Phinehas, well, they were stuck with having to go with it. I mean, their staff, they're the two pastors. And so there they were with the Ark of the Covenant of God. And when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout so that the earth rang. There was such a loud noise because they were so thrilled. The Ark is here. God isn't. But the Ark is, and everybody is, we're going to beat them now. Oh boy, they're in trouble. Oh gosh, and it's loud. And the earth rang, the Bible says. There was so much noise. Well, when the Philistines heard it, and they heard the noise of the shout, they said, what's the noise? What's this great noise? What does it mean in the camp of the Hebrews? And they understood. They found out the Ark of the Lord was come to the camp. And the Philistines were afraid. Oh no, they got the box. They brought that God in the box. So they said, God is coming to the camp. Oh man, they're carrying their God in that box and they'll turn the little thing in the music play and He'll pop out and we're dead. They said, woe unto us, for there has not been such a thing from before. That's the first God in the box is what they're saying. Woe unto us, who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. And they started talking themselves. Oh, holy guys, be strong. Quit you yourselves like men. Come on, strengthen up. Stop talking this way. It's only a box. You Philistines, you don't want to be servants of the Hebrews as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight. Stop talking about this God in the box. Don't worry about it. It's just a box. Well, they were right. It's just a box. Philistines fought, chapter verse 10, and Israel was beaten. They fled every man to his tent, and there was a very great slaughter. There fell of Israel 30,000 men. That's 34,000 men now. That's a lot of people to die. God in the box. Didn't work. They had become superstitious by hanging out around the Philistines. Did you know that many people today have God in a box? They've come up with methods, gimmicks, seminars. You want to fix your marriage? Seminar. You want to take care of this bitterness in your life? Seminar. And it works. We'll take you through this program, that program, and many programs all across the United States. Programs are doing it. We've got God in a box, and methods and gimmicks and seminars seem to be working. Many today think they have success in a box. They think they figured out how to work this. They think they've got it wired. They'll tell you that, well, the way to get God to give you money is to give Him money. We got it figured out. Plant a seed. It works every time. All you got to do is tuck in that love gift and send it. You send 10, God will give you 100. We've figured it out. We got Him in this box. It works all the time. Of course, they don't believe that because I asked them once to send me 100. You send me 100, let's see if God gives you 1,000. They didn't even bother. So they don't believe what they're telling you to do. Anybody doesn't. If I tell you to do it, I should live it. If they tell me to give, they ought to give to me, don't you think? I mean, if it's good for the goose, you know, whatever that means. Are you superstitious? Have you lived so long around the world that you've become superstitious with your God? If we bring the box, God in a box, we'll win this fight. Really? God's not in the box. Power's not in the box. God is Almighty. You better go to Him and ask Him, would He like to be there? And matter of fact, instead of that, Lord, I'll just be with You. Do You and me want to be there? Because wherever we want to be, You tell me. Are you superstitious? You know, the church is today. Let me tell you some of our superstitions that are very common. If it offends you, then we've hit the right spot. Look at this. Here's one of the superstitions very commonly taught. Be careful not to make a negative confession. Because if you say it, it'll come on you. Are you healed, brother? Well, yeah, except my nose is still... Don't say your nose is running. No. You got to claim that healing. Well, what'll happen if I say my nose is running? Well, your nose will run. And the healing will be lost. You'll lose it. Oh my gosh. See, that's superstition. Does God heal based on what I say? If God heals based on what I say, I'm the authority and He's not. True? If He heals based on what you say, you're the authority. He's not. He's got no power. Whatever you say is the power. Whatever you want Him to do. God in the box. You're bringing out the box. Here He is. What do you want? Heal? Money? Clothes? Husband? Wife? What do you want? Well, here's another superstition that's very commonly taught in the church. Don't ever pray for patience. You've heard that superstition, haven't you? If you pray for that, you'll get it. It's like you could pray for anything else. God would just say, oh, shove it up your nose. Patience. Oh, good. Oh, like He doesn't like you, right? Is that true? That's a superstition. As you know, that's a superstition. Here's a superstition. Don't ever let anyone know you're fasting. Right? Because if they ever find out you're fasting, it's wasted. You just go ahead and eat. Because that fast is for nothing and your heart's all wrong. You've heard that superstition. I know you have, haven't you? Hey, why don't you have a burger with us? No, thanks. Aren't you hungry? Yeah. Well, come on. Why don't you eat with us? No, I... Well, why? Oh, I'm fasting. Oh, you ruined it. No. That's a superstition. It's not a sin that someone finds out you're fasting. Now, if you do have to put it in the Coeur d'Alene press, that's a problem. Bob will be fasting through the week, so please don't invite him to lunch. All your friends, $100 ad. Now, that's what the Bible tells you to stay away from. Do you know those are superstitions? You may not think so, but those are superstitions. Those are hurting the church today. Here's one. Don't ever let anyone compliment you or you lose your reward. Have you heard that one? Don't ever let anyone compliment you. Hey, that was, I saw you help that lady. That was so kind of you. Oh, bummer, man. I wanted that in heaven. Thanks, dude. Thanks for saying something. Wait a minute. It's a superstition. Yes, Jesus does say, don't do it to be seen of men. But there are times when some things are seen. You haven't lost your reward. Do you have God in a box? Do you have Him all set up? Notice something. A great shout. When the box came in to the camp, there was emotionalism. Oh, we got Him now. It looks and sounds like God's really doing something. But God's not even there. Now you take a look at the church today. You just take a look at the church. Look around you at the different movements, the different things that we're hearing, the great shouts and the noise. And I think people need to be seeking the Lord. God isn't necessarily working in all that noise. God was not here in all this noise, and 30,000 people lost their lives. Well, not only that, but here's the worst news you can imagine. Verse 11. And the ark of God, God in the box, was taken. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were killed. Now God has been captured. And the two pastors are dead. Would you be nervous if that were your church? I'd like to pray to God, but Lord, He's been taken captive. He's in the enemy camp. I don't know what we're going to do now. Don't you praise Him that we have a God that is almighty. Nobody can trick Him and hide Him in a box. Have you seen those movies, those old movies where they'll trick the devil and they'll lock Him in a tree or hide Him in a box and then there's no evil for 24 hours? It's silly. But that's what they thought. Do you believe that's what they thought? If you don't believe it, there's a lady going to tell you in a moment. God has been captured. He's now a prisoner of the enemy. Do you know that the God you serve cannot be captured? The God that you and I serve is almighty. He is above all. He is omnipotent. He reigns supreme. Nothing is going to stop Him from overseeing this world. Nothing. Your life is in His hands. And nothing can stop Him. And nothing can control Him. No one is going to capture Him and take Him prisoner and lock Him away. But the ark, God in the box, was taken and the priests were killed. Didn't God say in the last chapter, this is going to be a sign to you, Eli, both your sons will die on the same day. Didn't God say that? That means God knows everything. He knows the future. God was looking ahead, and this is impressive, I think, about our God. He lets us disobey. He looked ahead and saw what would be, and He still let them ignore Him. He could have said, don't you dare go out to that battle. I know how it's going to work out. You better call me right now. You better just do it, young man. Instead, He said, you know, Eli, here's a sign to you. Both your sons will die in the same day. Why? Well, the answer could be because they're going to go out into a battle that I didn't send them to, and many of my chosen will die. And God lets us get in over our heads. He lets us get out there. And what do we do when we're out there over our heads? We're miserable. We're falling apart. What do we say? God, why did you let this happen to me? Why is this happening in my life? What's wrong with you? Now, some things happen because you obeyed Him. You did what He said. But many times it's because we didn't even listen to Him. God, what do you want me to do? And let me know, I'm on my way out the door. He might have wanted you to stay there another 5 minutes, but say, you just talk to me while I'm on the move, because I'm doing. Right? Well, God's now been captured. Not really, but the box has been. And the priests are dead. The pastors. And well, in verse 12, there ran a man of Benjamin out of the army. He came to Shiloh the same day, came back to where Eli was, and with his clothes torn to show a sign of mourning, with earth on his head, dirt on his head, to show he was very upset. When he came, lo, Eli sat upon a seat by the wayside, watching. Eli was waiting, he's an older man now, waiting to see the results. For his heart trembled for his sons. Is that what your Bible says? Mine says this. For his heart trembled for the ark of God. Now why would you be worried about a box? Remember, he's been disobedient as well. He's the top pastor and he's very superstitious. What if someone steals the box? Well, he's waiting to see. When the man came to the city and told it, all the city cried out. So there was an uproar, so to speak. And when Eli heard the noise of the crying, he said, what does the noise mean? Tell me the news. What's up? And the man came in a hurry and told Eli. Now, Eli was 98 years old. His eyes were dim. He could not see. And the man said to Eli, I am he that came out of the army. And I ran today out of the army. And he said, what is there done, my son? Tell me the news. Tell me what took place. And the messenger answered and said, Israel has run away from before its enemies, the Philistines. And there has also been a great slaughter among the people. And your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead. And the ark of God has been captured. It came to pass. When the young man or the man from the army made mention of the ark of God, that Eli fell from off his seat backwards by the side of the gate, and he broke his neck and he died, for he was old, an old man, and very heavy. And you remember how he got heavy, because his sons were stealing from God. And God said, you need to take care of this, and he wouldn't do it. And remember, he was partaking in what was being stolen. He's been disobedient all the way down the line. He fell off. Now, it's interesting to me, when it was mentioned that his sons died, we don't see much of a reaction. But it was mentioned that the ark was captured, that's when he fell. When it so shocked him that he just fell backwards and broke his neck and died. At least he was interested in God. He was a little confused at how it all worked, obviously. Well, he was dead now, and he had judged Israel 40 years. 40 years. Now, I'd like to let you know, we'll share communion in a little bit together. 40 years is a lot of opportunity to repent. You know that? In my life and in yours, we go every day, every day. You get up, and some of you have gotten up for years, every morning, and you go. And look, 40 years, this man could have repented at any time, and he wouldn't do it. You would think of all people, the high priest, the priest Eli, would come to his senses and give himself over to God. Yet he was stealing from God, letting his family steal from God, letting the people do things without the permission of God. And that's why God says, I need someone who's going to listen. 40 years. How long have you been going with your God, disobeying Him? Not listening to His voice. Not really caring what He really wants or what He is all about. I think it's a kind of a wake-up call when you see 40 years. in verse 19, Phinehas' wife. She was pregnant, and it was near the time she was to be delivered, the Bible says. And when she heard the news that the ark of God had been captured, and that her father-in-law and her husband were both dead, so God's been captured, and she lost a husband and a father-in-law, all in one afternoon. She bowed herself and travailed, for her pains came upon her. It so shocked her that she went into labor, is what God says. And about the time of her death, the women that stood by her said to her, "Don't be afraid, you have borne a son." But she did not answer, neither did she regard it. She died in childbirth. And as she was dying, it looks like she named the child Ichabod, saying this: "The glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband." She said, "The glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken." Do you understand? This poor woman died thinking, God's been captured, the glory is gone from Israel. Don't you understand? God can't be captured. The glory is not gone from Israel because God promised He would do certain things for Abraham and his children. And God will keep His promise even when the children ignore Him, refuse to bow down to Him, even worship false gods. God will keep His word. Today in the church, I see, and I'm sure you do too, many people calling themselves born again ignore Him, worship other gods, laugh in His face, do things for glory, for honor of themselves. Do you notice how God still loves and still patiently keeps His word? Promises and will remain faithful. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Though you may leave Him and wander around, you may forsake His principles, you may ignore Him, you may go and just live like you've never even heard about Him, and still He will never leave you nor forsake you. He will keep His promise. He will always be there. If you come to Him, He will not send you away. The glory has departed. Ichabod means the glory has departed. She names, what a name to grow up with. Are you superstitious? It's hard to walk with God when you're afraid of Him. Do you have Him in a box? Are you going from class to class, seminar to seminar, hotel to hotel, trying to figure out how God would have you spend your money, how He's going to fix your marriage, how He's going to fix your car? Are you really believing that there are gimmicks and tricks? When you hear that God healed somebody by spitting and making mud and then rubbing it in their eyes, do you run around making mud and putting it on people? Have you really found out the system? Do you know there are men and women today who go across the country teaching others how to heal? Now, come on. Do we have God in a box or what? We'll bring out the ark. You'll have to be healed because this is how you do it. And they run seminars and people pay hundreds of dollars to go. When the truth is, sometimes God doesn't use mud. Sometimes He just speaks but the word. Sometimes He uses a doctor. And people think, "You don't believe in miracles?" No, you see, just the opposite. I do believe in miracles. And the good thing about a miracle is when it's a miracle, everybody knows it was. So you can send that person, if they've been healed, to any doctor in the country, experts, and the doctors will say, "It's a miracle." You know, the man will say, "I once was blind, now I see." The father will say, "My son was dead and now he's alive." It's a miracle. No question, and everybody knows it. So don't worry, when God does one, you'll see, you'll know. Of course He does them. Don't be superstitious. Don't fall for the gimmicks, the seminars, and the methods that are all being taught. Go back to your Bible. Read God's Word. Talk to Him. Seek His face. Wait upon Him. Ask Him, where should I go? What should I do? How should I do that? He loves you, and He will tell you. That's what we see in God's Word. What we're going to do now is we'll share communion together. And as we bow our heads and prepare, as the praise band comes up, we'll pray together, but give it some thought. I don't know where your life is with God, but I do know this. God wants it to be right there under His shadow so that you're really hiding in Him. If things aren't going the way you want them to go, I think sometimes we ought to ask, who's in charge? If God's in charge and things are going the way He wants them to go, maybe I should rest. He promised rest. He promised joy. If I don't have it, it's not because He didn't keep His word. It's usually because somewhere, somehow, I've put Him in a box or wandered into something without even checking on Him. Let's bow our heads together and let's pray.